You've come to this place. What has driven you here? Where have you come from? No matter. Come with me. Where are we? On a map. The shoreline beneath your feet is the coast of the country you're in. Perhaps it's a museum. Perhaps a sanctuary. Maybe a ribbon composed of the dreams of all eras and civilizations that have ever existed. The hands that shaped, polished, and caressed these objects, these hands have turned to dust. The ashes of our ancestors and the vestiges of their dreams. Yet these objects are whispering to you. They murmur something that you can hear. Conveyed through their radiance, their transparency, their reflections. A history that you contain in every fiber of your body. The history of humanity. Your history. Their eyes open to look at you. With its stretched necks, pointed noses, and curious gaze, this sculpture seems to have risen from the earth. 8,000 years ago, humans fashioned monumental statues in their image for the first time. Here, around you, are the first humans to have settled somewhere. The first to domesticate animals. The first to build villages, the first to make vases and jars to preserve their food. These people, those of the first villages, have a plot of land of their own, a plot, some seeds, and the dead buried beneath their feet. These people, nothing in the world will drive them away from their land. Faint sounds and the scents of spices. We're entering the city. It's called Ur in Mesopotamia, Thebes in Egypt, Anyan in China. Caravans descend on it, and their travelers and merchants, stunned and astonished, discover the temples and palaces built on the river banks. Here, men have grown rich, and priests have become powerful. These are the first kings. You, Gudea, in polished black stone. You, Ramesses, Pharaoh of Egypt. How have you managed? What's your secret? By what magic have you raised yourselves up higher than ordinary mortals? Have you seen the world in a grain of sand? An eternity in an hour? Have you dreamed of holding infinity in the palm of your hand? life is short. Man wishes to have the illusions of being permanent. Is that why some have built empires? Empires to cover vast expanses of land. Empires to gather people together. Empires to span the centuries. Darius in Persia. Chandragupta Maurya in India. Alexander of Macedonia. Qin Shi Huang in China. In the cities of the empire, bust disseminate the image of the sovereign and of queens. Whether the emperor is named Augustus, Hadrian, or Constantine, his marble and bronze features display his charisma and authority. The Roman orator who, here in this place, looks down on his audience, and at his side, the Bodhisattva with half-closed eyes. What do they have in common? The conquest of Alexander the Great made possible a distant dialogue between Rome and North India. The Roman sculptor, an heir to Greek statuary, and the sculptor from Gandhara, a disciple of Buddha, communicated at a distance. Their statues seem to be the reflections of each other in a mirror. No empire is eternal. When the great empires of antiquity collapsed, the arts were transformed to bear a new message. The foundations of the universal religions were built on the ruins of these empires. Each religion has its light. Each religion, its sacred word. In the space of a few centuries, three great religions established themselves across continents. In China and Asia, Buddhism. In Europe, Christianity. In Arabia and India, Islam. The monotheistic universal religions relayed the message of a single God around the world. Painters, architects, and sculptors felt invested with a sacred mission to render the divine tangible. Thus, the red sandstone frieze you pass along in this room is a fragment of both a shrine and a book. These stones, carved in North India, are engraved with verses from the Holy Quran. Begotten under different skies, the universal religions share common values. An ancestor from Mali, a virgin from France, a Christ from Germany, Shiva dancing and crushing the dwarf ignorance beneath his feet, These are the faces of faith, down the ages and across the world. Listen to the prayer of the merchants who followed the Silk Road. It was through them that Buddhism, born in the Ganges Basin in India, made its way into China. Traveling with the merchants were monks, missionaries, and religions. One bodhisattva made a long journey on the Silk Road. With his right hand, his fingers delicately bent, he drives away fear and danger. Loaded on camels or horses, raw materials and luxury products traveled in both directions. The Silk Road, overland and maritime routes, networks for trade, were the means to disseminate both goods and beliefs. Soon, to man's mind, travel and good fortune were one. Amidst incense fumes and the scents of spices, beneath a rain of pearls, fabrics and foodstuffs streamed over the rugged Silk Road. If you embark on a journey, you will arrive. Thus spoke Ibn Arabi. At the entrance to a monastery, a large carved basin invites the traveler to wash his hands and purify his soul. Dragons and lions from the European bestiary, a porcupine inspired by the arts of Islam, a salamander sculpting on the inside of the bowl. These all speak to us of a particular epoch, the Middle Ages, and culture that of the Mediterranean, where forms and materials have met and merged, generating masterpieces that appear as much the work of a single man as the result of the marriage between East and West. Venice, Genoa, and Pisa are the city ports of Italy through which Islamic art entered Europe. But nowhere has this art shone as much as in the Iberian Peninsula, where Andalusian workshops have made possible the meeting of East and West. This lion was probably once an automaton, able to roar like a wild beast. Finely chased bronze, inscribed in ancient Arabic script, that wishes its owner happiness, long life, and prosperity. Like the pages of an ornate book, the lion you're looking at bears an entire world on his flanks. This was the world of the convivencia, the coexistence of three religions, when Moors, Jews, and Christians lived almost side by side. From the 8th century, Islamic scholars established astronomy as a major subject of study, producing numerous treatises, maps, and measuring instruments. In the 15th century, the fast and light Portuguese caravel facilitated long-distance expeditions. For the first time, man circled the globe. Explorers' accounts, increasingly widely disseminated after the invention of printing, helped with the discovery of other lands and other peoples. Under the menace of the conquistadors' swords, the first contact between Europe and America resulted in the destruction of temples, the slaughter of peoples, and left men blinded by the myth of El Dorado. Friend, traveler, true gold is not the sort extracted from the ground. The gold brought back from the New World lay in the fascination felt of all that is different, all that is other. This is the nugget bequeathed to us by the travelers of the Renaissance. Do you know what princes dream of? Whether it is the Oba King in Benin, the Maharana of Mewar in India, whether it is Louis XIV in France, or Philip V in Spain, he dreams of adornments worthy of his splendor. Now that the world is connected, ambassadors and luxury products are traveling from one court to the other, combining arts and diplomacy. Princes compete to demonstrate their magnificence. To ensure the admiration of his rivals as well as his subjects, a king needs symbols. By purchasing artworks and commissioning sculptures, tapestries, and portraits, a prince becomes a patron of art and a collector. Monumental works adorn the galleries of palaces. Monarchs pose in three-quarter views, both proud and composed. In Europe, as in India, in Benin, as in Turkey, art is more than ever an attribute of power. Hunting with hounds, the favorite pastime of the aristocracy, became a requisite theme for painters and weavers. Produced by the Manufacture Royale des Gobelins, these tapestries were designed to showcase the French know-how in the field of art and luxury production. Fond of hunting, King Louis XIV had hung in his apartments at the Palace of Versailles the original tapestries that served as a model for these. Thus, in the evening, in the glimmer of the candlelight, he can contemplate the blazing red of the headgear and tunics, the many shades of green, and the shadows that pass over the trees. During the 17th century, in Africa, Asia, and America, in Europe and the Ottoman Empire, traveling far from home is no longer the prerogative of explorers, diplomats, and merchants. More and more people emigrate for a few years or for the rest of their lives. The poor and less poor, whether free or enslaved, pushed to travel afar for trade, or by the vicissitudes of life, carry with them their language and beliefs. This itinerant lifestyle molds a new and multifaceted world in which one can be from both here and elsewhere. An Ottoman coffee merchant in Vienna, a freedman in London or Paris, a Burmese ambassador of the Mughal court, or a Dutch bookkeeper in Batavia, today Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia. With every migration, encounter, and exchange, the taste for exoticism spreads wider. The arts provide an explicit illustration of the first global economy. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him naked, beat him, and left him near death. Now a priest was going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, another priest came by that spot and also continued on his way. But a traveling Samaritan saw the man and was moved to pity. He treated his wounds, placed the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and cared for him. Told in the Bible, the parable of the Good Samaritan is an example of selfless charity. Seeing the body of the victim and his ribbed and shadowed sides, the painter's artistry touches our hearts. To tell a story powerfully, an artist has no need of words. just our silent gaze. Modern times. Europe, America, new ideas emerge. Books, gazettes, tracts and newspapers radiate the spirit of the century. Views aired in the private sphere were proclaimed in the public square. Words electrified the atmosphere and triggered revolutions. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Two wrestlers during antiquity, Cruagas the Virtuous and Demoxenus the Wily, embody heroism confronted by perfidy. Using the edge of his hand, Demoxenus strikes Cruagas with a blow prohibited by the rules of combat. Under the chisel of the sculptor Canova, the ancient ideals of heroism and virtue returned to haunt modern times. A locomotive is entering the station. In London, Paris, Moscow, a steamboat unloads its cargo in the ports of Amsterdam and Antwerp. Each day, a little more coal, copper, and steel leaves the mines, furnaces, and forges. Europe had its industrial revolution. The resources of the world made their way there, stripped from the colonies in Africa, Asia, the Pacific. The dark mysteries of distant lands are delivered to the inhabitants of the great capitals. Deafened by machines, they cannot hear the voices of the ancestors or feel the breath alive in the arts of Africa, Oceania, Asia, and the Americas. Until a young painter somewhere, today Gauguin, tomorrow Picasso, discerns a new intensity and magic in their geometric forms. By means of this dialogue between the artists of Europe and the sculptors of Africa and the Pacific, art in Paris, New York, Mexico City were finally able to become modern. In the mid-19th century, painters seized on the innovations of science. Using new pigments created by chemists, they extended their palette of colors. Photography made them discover new perspectives, high-angle shots, asymmetry, soft focus. Gustav Kaillebotte, a man of his time, loved photography and its amazing framing. Like his Impressionist colleagues, Manet, Degas, Sisley, and Renoir, he transformed everyday sights, clubs, hearts, diamonds, graying hair, into fleeting effects of color and light. Cinema was born at the dawn of the 20th century in the image of the future. A century of exploits and speed, a century of impatience. In the face of cinema, an entertainment made for the masses, the arts, painting, sculpture, photography, embraced their individuality and radicality. Whether aesthetic or geographic, art no longer had any boundaries. The century of speed was also the century of destruction. Less than 20 years after the birth of cinema, less than 15 after the first plane flight, World War I replaced optimism with skepticism and despair. After the war, more and more artists turned away from conventional subjects toward abstractionism. Increasingly misunderstood, those artists not wrapped in lethargy invent forms for tomorrow. To reinvent the world, art is in a constant process of transformation. The Japanese artist Kazuo Shiraga uses neither brush nor palette knife. He holds to a rope hanging from the ceiling, and his feet covered in paint slide on the canvas lying flat on the ground. The French painter Yves Klein and Swiss sculptor Jean Tingley subverted our perception of art. Is it painting? If you use your feet or the imprint of a body? Is it sculpture? If you use an orange juicer, wire, and plastic? With Shiraga, Klein, and Tingley, art becomes performance, surprise, shock, materials, movements, noises. Their works are designed to shake up our senses. A painting or sculpture can be non-figurative, abstract, and disconcerting, and yet form powerful links with our history, our identity, and our memory. Here we are at the end of our ribbon of dreams. In the present. Our present. Like those of yesterday, the artists of today question our place in the world, using the materials and forms of their time. Like those of yesterday, the artworks of today teach us to look differently at the beings with whom we share this planet, whose temporary caretakers we are. Like a mirror, art reflects the image of humanity for the eyes of the future. Beyond this room, the ribbon stretches on. It is composed of our dreams and efforts combined to preserve them. Follow me. Follow me and listen. The pulse of time is beating outside. The journey is just beginning.